You're listening to Giles Brown on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. I'm here at the Marbella International Film Festival once again and joined by actor, writer and director Stephen Berkoff. Stephen, good morning to you.
Morning.
Welcome to Marbella.
Oh, thank you.
What brings you to Marbella this time?
Well, this time I was in a film directed by my good associate and friend Steve Cookson. And we decided to make a film together, and he asked me what I would like to do, because he's a director mainly. And I thought, well, I was thinking, running through a few subjects of works that I knew. And many, many years ago, I did on stage an adaptation of an Edgar Allan Poe piece called The Telltale Heart. I then subsequently added to that, excuse me, The Fall of the House of Usher. And The Telltale Heart is a very, very compelling and unusual story. And Edgar Allan Poe is amongst the top level of imaginative writers. And by that I mean people who really don't just hold a mirror up to nature and show you the usual junk, which is, you know, about relationships and divorces and crooks and gang. This deals with the human soul in a very, very deep way. So we decided to film The Telltale Heart, which is an extraordinary kind of gothic horror story. And I thought that would be a good subject, and he wrote a kind of screenplay, and I acted the part of the man who is obsessed. He suffers with the most chronic, almost what you call compulsive obsessive disorder, which is called OCD. It's actually called obsessive compulsive disorder. And it's brilliant that in the 18th, 19th century, he could write about that with such depth, about the complexities of the human mind. So we decided to do that, and we filmed it, and it's really very, very odd story. Much of it has got to do with what the man is thinking and the detail of his thought, which is familiar to obsessive compulsives, because they will obsess about something of extreme minutiae. And so we made the film a couple of years ago, and it's been going around the festivals, it's been very popular, and now that brings us here.
And it looks very dark. You mentioned the gothic look to his thoughts, and also the trailer. There seems to be an awful lot of blood and hands and details,
again, the OCD. Well, yes, well, you see, I think what tends to happen, unfortunately, that when you're promoting the film, the producers, you know, rightly or wrongly, they always push, like, the blood. The blood element is only a few seconds in the film, and the man's body is chopped up. I didn't really agree with that, because that, to me, is going down, in a way, the path of the conventional. And that's what I didn't want to do. You know, we've seen enough blood. And so I didn't body parts. That's not really part of the story. In the story, the man who causes him this terrible obsession is murdered by the leading character, or the hero. And he is chopped up with an axe. But he talks about it, which is more exciting than seeing it. However, in film you have to show it, I guess, and I think Steve showed it quite well, and that's what we did for the promotion. But it is unusual. The thing about film is that people go to cater for the lowest common denominator, because they see the word commercial, making money, and stars. This has destroyed the film industry largely, and prevented them from really dealing with what film can deal with, much more bizarre and much more profound and alarming subjects, although conventional subjects can also be very, very well done. But I think I prefer to work in areas where it is less common and more insightful.
I mean, you mentioned the word lowest common denominator. We've recently been hit by a slew of blockbusters, comic strip presentations. Yes. I mean, film is a medium which you can explore many things with, but yet it still seems to go down that lowest common denominator.
It does, yeah, it does. So sometimes you get a film come along which blows me sideways. And those films are few and far between. There's no blood, there's no murder. I'm thinking of Orson Welles, even his first film. It was a colossal hit. And he just, Citizen Kane, there was nothing of horror or murder or torture. It was about man's obsession to conquer the world by via his new, is basically a kind of a parody of Randolph Hearst, the great newspaper magnate, who was such a disgusting figure and hurt Welles's reputation and tried to prevent the film being shown. I mean, the man was a disgusting pig. And you get people like that everywhere. There are a few out there today. But the great films, when I think of the greatest films I've ever seen, I'm thinking of the remarkable Kurosawa. And if, you know, his samurai films, which were beautiful. They were like almost ballets and dramatic, exciting, thrilling, raw, athletic. And nothing could be more perfect than The Seven Samurai, a great moral story. Or, in fact, his great Macbeth, Throne of Blood. And then many years ago, I saw a man called Jodorowsky, who made a film called, El Topo. Have you ever seen that? I thought it was one of the most remarkable films I've ever seen. It was based on myth, a myth of a man in the desert who was, he thought himself to be flawless. He couldn't be killed. And he could defeat everyone. I came out of that absolutely stunned out of my mind, Jodorowsky. Then he did one or two other films that weren't so successful and had difficulty raising money for the film. But these are filmmakers I wish that were encouraged.
So what excites you now? Is it writing for? Is it still writing? Are you still doing theatre? Do you still look for these smaller productions?
No, my feeling is now to express myself in whatever way I can that will unlock the deepest parts of my being, my soul. Because we all have in our souls little boxes or little areas. It's like a muscle, a soul muscle. And we don't touch them anymore. They're kind of decaying within us. In a way, like some precious article that is stuck in a cupboard and is never taken out. And that's part of our soul. And when something touches our soul, we suddenly know what being alive is. Being alive in the most profound way is when you touch that part of yourself and it's so thrilling. But now, our souls are gradually becoming corroded and wiped away.
Through overexposure?
No, through greed, through stupidity. I even come to a hotel, I see a sign of it everywhere. I see these people sitting in this industrial breakfast room, eating this industrial food, this ham and spam, and a little bit of fruit there, but and they all queue up happily, and they're all munching away happily. And then just opposite me is a couple, young couple, they look. And one gets out their cell phone, and she's doing this while eating. Then the husband also, he's got his cell phone, he's tapping away happily, and she's doing this, I'm doing that. And that is gradually erasing, which they don't know. It's gradually, the soul is like a mist that lies on you, and it's there, this mist that emanates from your deepest part. But gradually, it's like oxygen that's being depleted from the earth. Gradually, all these things, there's no soul left. You know, to watch a couple speak, communicate, joke, laugh, exchange each other's food, just to... These are all manifestations of a soul that's alive. These were just doing this with their cell phone, tapping away, and then he was tapping away with both hands, tapping away, eating, tapping away. And I thought, it was so interesting. People have obviously soul, but gradually they have killed any feeling of soul. Soul is gone. Even coming here, getting on the plane, traveling from Stansted, a sterile airport, soulless, dead. As you go through the duty-free, they're like ants carrying away little bits of leaf, all standing at the bar, standing at the sandwich counter, standing at the cigarette, standing at the duty-free. And I think that's okay. I do it myself. I buy stuff. But I see that suddenly we're being standardized. And then when they come in, this is not a hotel. This is like an industrial plant for processing the worst elements of the British race. Essex. I have not seen a black, a Jew, even a bloody Spaniard here. All I've seen is this bunch of people. Well, here, actually, the people look quite normal. In the breakfast room, they all looked alike. All that, like, bald, slightly fat, with little cheap shorts on.
You're known for writing about London as well. How has your London changed?
I don't really notice much about London. I carry on what I do in a small area. But London is good because it's so cosmopolitan that it awakens the soul of people, even awakens them to be even angry or be even happy that we have wonderful Europeans in our midst, that before we lived in hovels. When something broke down, you had to go to an English plumber or carpenter or electrician, and you'd never get it fixed. They rip you off, they con you, then you have to come back, and it doesn't work. So you live in a place where your plumbing's screwed up, your electrics are screwed up, your TV's screwed up, everything's screwed up. But now, with the European Union, suddenly we are flooded with the European mind. Oh, wonderful plumbers that are geniuses. Oh, wonderful. So suddenly we can live again. But we live in a terrible world where soul is being slowly crushed. It can't exist. We live in a world where everybody's got a bloody cell phone at the breakfast table, looking at it, ignoring each other, ignoring their children, the children on cell phones. Then you have to have all these numbers. So these numbers, you're no longer a human being. You're a machine. In fact, you're even less interesting because you're flesh and blood. Machine is more efficient. But you're a machine, you've got to know the number of your car, the number of your this, the number of your cell phone. And then you have to know these passwords, endless passwords. But they're destroying, this internet business is destroying the soul of the human race. There are some good things. He said, we send films to be judged and we can send them all over the world through the internet. Obviously good things to look up, but mainly the deficit side is overwhelming.
Do you think perhaps this immediacy, this immediate connection we have to have via internet is destroying creativity and destroying us thinking deeper and making real connections?
Sorry?
Do you think that this looking for immediate gratification, I want likes, I want to have my YouTube video up, it's destroying real connection, it's destroying real creativity?
No, totally it's destroying it, yeah. I was reading the other day, a school, was it Ascot, that had banned the use of the cell phone in the classroom. And there all the teachers complained, but we use it, it's very good. And I thought, you fool teachers, you dumb. Try to use it as your brain, as Shakespeare used it. If you give it up, it might expand something else, you totally dumb, idiotic nincompoop. You shouldn't be teachers. Go out and get a job doing a building work. Because you don't use it. You get a book, you turn a page, you instruct. It's so, how did Shakespeare write without internet? I don't know, you know. I mean, how did he write these masterpieces? So we have no more masterpieces.
What's up next for you then, Stephen, after the ship back to the UK, and what have you got coming up for the rest of the year?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm thinking about two things. I've got a book I hope be published by Routledge. It's about my productions and how I directed them. So it's a kind of an instruction manual of how to think about plays, how to think about theatre, which is a very big subject, of course, for me. because I see that's being destroyed right around me. That's burning down. I mean, that's insane. So it's about that. And then I've been writing a one-man show about Harvey Weinstein, who is a very interesting character.
Are you going to be? Is that coming out next year, then, this one-man show?
Yeah, well, I hope so, yes. Yes. And I hope I get there in time, because it's taken me a long time. And I'll be playing him.
It's a challenging role, to put it mildly.
Oh, yes. I hope, yeah, big, big challenging role. Yeah. But it's ferocious.
You take on the Me Too situation, or...?
No, I don't pay much attention to that.
Yeah.
I don't pay much. I think women today are just in a terrible, hopeless situation. Hopeless. Because I love women, I feel for them. But what they're doing to themselves is beyond... It's beyond a horror film. How they're being subjugated or subjected to consumerism, to makeup, to fashion. You know, be a bit independent, throw it out. But they're all, you know, sucking into it, unfortunately. And they can give us and teach us so much. So I'm not into that too much.
Well, thank you for joining us today at the Marbella International Film Festival. Stephen Berkoff, enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, thank you.